Ready, set, go!
This is the Checkpoint XP Podcast. Check out our international radio show and daily podcast at checkpointxp.com. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into the Checkpoint XP podcast on B-Pod Studios, the place to be for podcast discovery. Exclusive, uncensored, and extended conversations from the nationally syndicated crew of the Checkpoint XP radio show. My name's Nate Bender, and I'm joined by Robbie Landis and Chad Callahan. No Joe, no Norris. Norris is actually out vacationing.
He went back to New York for some reason.
Yeah, he took a long weekend, and Joe actually threw up all over himself today.
Contracted something.
Yeah, he's got some
mold?
Horribleness. I have no idea.
It seems like a mold.
He was coughing. Yeah. Apparently, he was coughing.
What if he was putting on the Fallout helmet and he caught some of the mold?
Why would he have put on the Fallout helmet?
Why does Joe do a lot?
I need that to drive.
Joe does a lot of things none of us can explain, all right?
So, welcome into the show. And we appreciate Chad hanging out with us today. So, Chad being brought up to the majors.
To the majors.
Yeah. We probably were going to have you on this week with Norris being gone anyway. But now you just get the three of us.
Oh, yeah. See, had Joe still been here, we'd have maybe brought you on for like a segment or something. But with both of them out,
now I'm stuck here the whole time.
Hands on deck.
Yeah.
Yeah, now you actually have to work instead of sitting at your cubicle playing on your phone.
Because that's what we do all day, apparently.
Well, every time that I take a break, when we're doing segments like in between, I walk by, he's just sitting there tapping away on his phone or his little tablet.
To be fair, I do. Little tablet out. I usually do all the tweeting off my phone, so.
Yeah.
That's half my battle.
So we like to start off the Checkpoint XP podcast, which is going to be renamed soon. Don't worry about it. It is happening.
Awesome logo.
The logo is pretty dope.
It's pretty cool.
We're just now in the process of figuring out who's going to be making the intros. I need new voice work. All of the minutia that goes along with switching something up like this. But we like to start off the Checkpoint XP podcast by reading Apple Podcast reviews.
That's right. And we actually have a special one today. I woke up this morning to a DM on Twitter from a longtime listener of ours named Jonatello67 on Twitter.
Right on.
And he uses an Android and only really uses his phone and didn't know how to leave a review.
Fair enough.
So I'm like, all right, I kind of tried to walk him through some stuff, couldn't figure it out. So I'm like, look, just write your review, give it to me here.
Does he not have a desktop computer that he can download iTunes on or whatever?
Well, see, that's what I had suggested. I'm like, just download it, leave the review, delete it. And he's like, well, can I do that on a phone? All right, just give me your review. Just give me your review.
All right.
This review comes courtesy of Jonatello. He says, hey there, looking time listener. I think he means long time listener. And huge fan of everything that is done by the cast. Everything you would ever need gaming related is covered in any of these wonderful podcasts. Whether you want to listen to Checkpoint XP or the Daily XP Daily.
Daily XP Daily.
The other identity.
Welcome into the Daily XP Daily.
I love it. I'm in.
The other identity for comic book needs and even Checkpoint 76. He also says, can't forget Not Your Player 2. Not anymore. But he does mention it to low team damage, even though he's not an esports person. And the awesome and talented cast on all of those shows. If you listen to podcasts, please do your ears good justice by adding any, if not all of the podcasts made on this network of wonderful people. And
yes.
I said, is that too much? I goes, no, that's perfect.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jonatello.
That's a 5-star review.
Well,
that sounds like a 5-star,
that
right?
Sounds like a 5-star.
That sounds like a 5-star.
Sure does.
Thank you, Jonatello.
Yes,
I appreciate
of course.
It.
Do we want to read another? Because I have another.
Just one more? How many do we get?
I have just one more.
Ah, so we got exactly two.
Yeah.
Technically one, because Jonatello couldn't figure out how to get it on the
Should I save it? Should I save it for next time?
No.
Okay.
No. We're going to read it, and y'all are going to step up and leave a damn review one way or another. All right?
So it's easy to leave a review. Even if you don't have iTunes or Apple Podcasts, you can send it to us in a number of different ways. Leave it on a YouTube comment.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find it. Don't worry. DM it to us.
That's right.
Send it to us over Twitter, like Jonatello did.
That's right.
So our second review today coming in, I don't know what my voice just did there. That was weird. But our second review coming in today.
Awkward.
From, stop it. Don't say your drops. Do not say your drops.
No, you keep that up.
Don't encourage him.
That's all I'm here.
Horrible.
I'm an enabler. That's all I'm here for.
Oh, you are good.
Oh, God damn it. I fucking hate you.
Come on, get to the review.
Our Does anyone else want to do their jobs?
I'm going to stab you in the hand with a pen. Swear. All right, our second review today coming to us from KPV17, who I also will note has left a review over on the Daily Show as well.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
So thank you. Yeah, you're the real MVP. Actually, the real KPV. So this one is entitled Another Gem by the Checkpoint XP Crew.
Yes.
5 stars. This podcast is great in its own right because it expands upon the winning formula of the daily podcast. This podcast has a touch of gaming, but an emphasis on gaming culture and related topics, which makes it truly unique and satisfying to listen to in the realm of gaming and gaming podcasts. The crew does a great job being informed about what they're talking about and also mesh very well together when conversing. The back and forth banter at times shows an organic friendship that isn't just a front slash act. Keep up the good work, gents. And FYI, Robbie, I'm still not a bot.
Oh, excellent. So. Great.
Ha, we fooled them.
Yeah,
they don't think it's a front or act. Ha-ha.
Well, and I have to say, what I assume that comes from is a lot of times when I'm streaming, there's a bunch of people that are in the viewer chat list,
sure,
right, that never talk, but they're always there. And if you don't at least say, what's up? I assume you're a bot until you do.
That's fair.
So I assume that they must be there quite a bit and they just don't want to say what's up. But left a review, so that'll do.
Which, by the way, I'm going to harp on the 33 people that are in our chat room right now over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Join us live if you're listening on the podcasts. We usually record this on Fridays when we can, Thursdays, if not Fridays. But I'm going to call out the 33 people watching us right now because they're not talking.
That's right. And if you haven't actually made an account in follow, because according to our actual user list, there's only about maybe 15 to 20 people in there.
Yeah.
So make an account, hit the follow button, hit
That's
the follow
right.
button if you haven't hit the follow button already. And what's up, everybody?
Yeah. So coming up today on the Checkpoint XP podcast, we're going to talk about podcasting. It's going to get real meta, guys. Stick around. That's coming up next on the Checkpoint XP podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to the Checkpoint XP podcast on the B-Pod Studios Network, the place to be for podcast discovery. Today on the Checkpoint XP podcast, you know, this past week, I actually got to do a bit of a tour with students from Bloomfield Hills High School, which I graduated from Wasser High School in 2003, and sometime within the last like couple of years, they combined Wasser High School and Andover High School into Bloomfield Hills High School. So this is actually kind of like the radio program that I graduated out of.
Oh, that's exciting.
Right? Like the instructor that came in is still the same instructor from when I was there.
Oh, man. So you got to
That's why he hugged you.
Yeah.
I was like, this is just really awkward. I don't know what I'm watching, but like, cool.
Yes, because I've literally known him since I was 14 years old.
So you've actually, this is actually like a chance for you to like sort of impart some knowledge and like some effect onto the possible future of some youngins.
Of broadcasters, yeah. And
it's
what's
all bad.
What's unique, I don't even want to acknowledge them anymore. I want to just ignore them and just move on. The thing about it, the thing that's really cool about it is that, you know, these are kids that are interested in broadcasting, specifically on the radio side, that I don't know if they've put it together that, like, you know, broadcasting for radio and like doing stuff on YouTube and Twitch and like they're so closely related. I don't know that they're putting that together.
You don't have to choose one or the other.
Well, right. And but like it seems like these kids have chosen, right? Like they're not, I didn't get the sense of from them that they're like pursuing to, you know, be a content creator on YouTube or someone on Twitch. Like they're genuinely interested in the medium of radio, which I think makes them unique as kids, right? Like
that's fair. Yeah.
I mean, even when I was a kid, because I graduated in 2003, you know, like in 1999, 2000, 2001, like it was weird that I was into radio. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
it,
really
was
probably mostly because your dad was big into radio, so it kind of runs in the family.
Yeah, I mean, my dad was a broadcaster of I want to say over 40 years, but I'm not 100% sure. He worked many of them actually in this very building. But yeah, like that's definitely where my interest in it came from. And what's also kind of unique about that program is that they had a completely separate video production and TV producing program, right? So you're not casting a wide net of, you know, like, and being like, hey, if you're into media, kids, come take this class. It was literally like bifurcated. Like, if you're interested in radio, you go take this class and you be a part of the radio station. If you're interested in TV, we've got these set of classes. You go do this.
Yeah. See, back in my high school, they definitely just had the media.
Yeah.
Well, even still, like, and I think that's a difference between like radio and TV and like online media. Like really when you think about it, like a lot of stuff you have to learn both. You just got to do both.
There's a lot of crossover and
there's a lot of crossover and skills. Yeah.
Even at a school like Specs Howard, you know, that has taught radio broadcasting and television broadcasting, they've rolled podcasting and YouTubing and Twitch, all of that, they've rolled that all into one program. So it's a school for media arts, yeah, as opposed to, you know, just strictly broadcasting, which I think is really interesting. And these kids kind of reflected that. Like I got the vibe that they're very interested in media and are exploring it through radio, which I think is very unique.
So once you got a chance to talk to them, like did they seem interested or excited about the space and kind of realizing that we can still pursue radio, but those skills also have sort of other areas that we could potentially explore as well?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I think one of the things that I tried to really emphasize was how in my own career, I saw an opportunity, but I didn't see anyone who was like marshaling forces around that opportunity. So I'm like basically made my own lane. You know, when we were up at CMU, the broadcasting department was not interested in what we were doing with Limit Break Radio,
which was, by the way, still very, very new at that time.
Right. But it took us about a year and a half. And it was right around the time when like we were getting like hundreds of thousands of downloads per episode, that then the broadcast department was like, oh, what is this that you guys are doing?
Really?
And even then, like, they were like, oh, it's for video games. Like, once they figured out what the content was, they were like, yeah.
But like, you would think that wouldn't matter because you're still getting 100,000 downloads.
Right. Like, it was definitely a novelty to them more than it was anything else. And this was at a time where they weren't even, like, the broadcast department at Central Michigan University. This is after now 2006, because we're doing Limit Break Radio at this point. Like, they started their first podcast class like maybe a year before I graduated in 2012.
Wow. So we were doing podcasts before CMU.
Way before.
And the thing is
that, like, I took that class and taught half of it.
You know, you didn't know anything about it?
No, like, well, the professor who did, who I'm still, you know, pretty good friends with to this day, Jeff Smith, the professor who taught it, like, knew it in theory, like, knew it abstracted from, like, doing the pod,
but
like,
he hadn't actually done podcasts at that point.
No, he did. He was a part of Woot Radio.
Oh, right.
He had done podcasting, but then, like, when you talk about audience measurement, like, his was here, ours was here. Like, it was just, like, not even close. So, you know, a lot of times when we would be talking about something, he'd, like, defer to me for a question. So, like, it was kind of cool because, you know, like...
Like, I mean, he wasted some money to go to this class that you have teached. You paid to teach a class.
A little bit. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Had I not had to pay for it,
I think I'd lose.
Yeah, that's true. Didn't think about it that way. But it was kind of cool, though, that, like, I helped kind of establish the program a little bit. And there was, you know, a bit of pushing from, you know, and it wasn't just me, but, you know, I was one of them that, like, hey, why don't we have a podcasting class? And kind of got a bug in this professor's ear and really kind of made him push for it. So, you know, we've got a long storied history in broadcasting, and kind of dredging through all of that history with this group of high school students kind of made me think, like, you know, it might be worth talking about the ways in which podcasting has kind of changed and evolved since we first got involved with it, like it's now almost 15 years ago.
Yeah, jeez. I mean, and it's everywhere now. At this point, too, everyone
has a podcast. Yes. Oh, my God.
And specifically for select career paths. I'm not really sure the right term to use, but, like, certain celebrities, once they get to a certain point in their career, it's like, all right, well, now this is the point where I make my podcast.
Right.
And I write in my book, and this is my podcast. And
you know,
you write your podcast and you write your book. So, is our book?
Before podcasting, maybe that was kind of like the progression of it, right? You have your career. Eventually, you get to a point where you can tell your story. You write your book or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, yeah, a podcast is now part of that.
I mean, yes. I sort of don't know. I resent the idea that everyone feels like they need to have their own podcast.
No. You know what I mean? No. They absolutely do not.
Like, I think specifically where you see that more than, you know, maybe other genres of podcasts is specifically comedy. Every comedian feels like they need a podcast. And let me tell you, every comedian definitely does not need a fucking podcast. Less is more. I swear to you, less is more. I'm a comedy fan, and I consume people's stand-up specials very avidly.
It must be exhausting as a comedian to try and do a podcast. Like, as a comedian, who wants to try and be, like, on as much as you possibly can?
I mean, it does keep you sharp. I will say that.
I guess so, but, like, imagine having to make new... I mean, I guess, like, we look at, like late night shows, those types of comedians, but, like, that's a rare breed.
Late night shows also have an entire writing staff that are helping them.
That's right. True. So
Jimmy Fallon isn't in the back room, like, writing his monologue before he goes on.
But funny people are good to have on podcasts because they're always interesting to listen to. They take chances with the things that they say, and sometimes it comes back around to bite them in the ass. I don't want to go relitigate the Shane Gillis thing, but we saw that recently with SNL and Shane Gillis, and I think that's why people are drawn more to comedy podcasts than anything else. But it was sort of like Mark Maron's WTF pod, like, blew up and was, like, one of the biggest podcasts in the world, and it was like suddenly every comedian was like, well, I guess I better get my shit together and I got to get a podcast
now. You really don't.
Well, but not to say that they're all bad either. There are great podcast. There are great comedy podcasts out there that I love listening to. Even though he drives me crazy sometimes, Joe Rogan's show is really good, especially when he's talking to other comedians. I tire of the conspiracy theory bullshit on that show, but that's neither here nor there. What's the other one that I really, Your Mom's House with Christina Pajitsky and why am I blanking on his name? Tom Segura. Really funny. For a long time, for like 4 years, they just ran that themselves. They didn't have any guests. Oh, it was them bouncing off of like YouTube clips that they would find and genuinely like honing a space for the show, like and finding an identity for the show. Theo Vaughn's podcast is very good. Even though I tire of it, Bill Burr is very funny as well. And I love the Monday Morning Podcast. But I don't love it all the time. Like, there are definitely shows where I'm like, every episode, there's a gem in there. There's something good. I feel that way about Your Mom's House. There are other shows where I'm like, I can check in with you every once in a while.
It's kind of like morning shows. Every time you turn on a morning show, you're not always going to be entertained by it.
Yes and no. I think comedians who approach their podcast more like a morning show click more with me personally than, you know, maybe some other like just recitation at the camera or at the mic sort of stuff, your Monday Morning Podcast, that kind of thing. I definitely think that I understand why comedians get very involved with podcasts. I genuinely don't think that everyone.
I think there's a different type of comedian too. You got the types that are able to go up on stand up and do their thing, and they're brilliant. And then there's the other ones that are who might not be able to do stand up, but they can.
Like, they can riff
off of what someone else said. Yeah. Like, that's a lot of people. A lot of people are actually like that. It's like, oh, you said something funny. I can add on to that. Or
right.
You said
they read. They read the energy in the room.
Yeah. So doing things by yourself versus in a group, sometimes that's where some comedians shine. And that's where podcasting comes.
You're absolutely right. The ones that I think work less, like they don't work more than they work, are the shows where it's like three comedians and they're all talking over each other the entire time and everyone's trying to make a point and and like, to me, that just gets fucking annoying.
They're all just talking at each other instead of having a conversation.
Exactly.
No one's listening.
Yeah, exactly. No one's listening. They're all kind of vying for the center stage. That gets really irritating. It grates on me a lot. But, you know, that was one of the things that, you know, I recognized early on in podcasting. It seemed to be a recipe for success to just get somebody mildly famous and put them on your podcast and boom, now you've got, you know, 50,000 people that are downloading overnight. And, you know, because none of us were famous when we were doing Limit Break Radio.
Even a little bit.
We were doing something hyper niche, which made the show stand out and appeal to, a certain audience demographic. But it's always kind of frustrating to me to see these big podcast networks that get kind of stationed around one celebrity. And you know that they're just there to provide a name. Like, that to me is kind of a bit of the erosion of what the original intent for podcasting was. I mean, yes, podcasting is supposed to be a medium for everyone, and very technically it is. Like, anyone can get a mic and technically start a podcast. But now that you have all these celebrities that are operating in the space, it's so hard to stand out. It's so hard.
I definitely get that. You know, I don't listen to a lot of podcasts, but normally what sells me on a podcast isn't going to be like some big name behind it. On occasion it might, right? But
sure.
But for me, when a podcast has like a really unique take on something, right? Like, for example, we talked to Sarah, I forget her last name, who did Laughing in the Dark, right?
Yes.
That whole premise, Like, I don't think you can find another podcast that's probably even remotely similar to that. Putting a bunch of comedians in haunted houses?
But there's actually a bunch. That's taking two concepts, two core concepts for podcasting and just throwing them together, which is the spooky podcast that tells a spooky story
right. And
a podcast with comedians. They just combine the two, and That's her
new,
show.
Though. That's,
I mean,
still
yes,
new.
I will give her that. Absolutely, it's new, but it's like two big pillars of the podcasting community just kind of colliding together, which is brilliant. Don't get me wrong. I'm actually surprised no one had done it sooner.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of talking about. Is obviously yes, there are a million comedy podcasts out there. And I'm sure there's a million spooky podcasts, just like there's a million true crime podcasts.
There are, yes.
But being able to take two of those, because by taking two of the most popular things and putting them together to make one unique thing, you stand out, but you still have the draw of both of those categories.
You're absolutely right.
Kind of genius.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. But I mean, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, just by virtue of existing for, you know, and having the arc of history that podcasting has, we're going to start running out of ideas for shows eventually.
We're probably already there.
Well, collectively as podcasters and creative people, like at some point it's going to be like the problem you run into when naming a band. Every name has been taken. Oh, so now we got to spell churches with V's instead of U's. Okay, cool. That's how we get around that. I mean, like, it's yes, at some point it's going to become a snake eating its own tail. But because it's for everyone, it has to be for celebrities as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't be like, here's a medium for everyone except
you. I mean,
already famous people.
I wish
people.
We could. Save us a lot of trouble.
Oh, man. But yeah, I mean, the space is very quickly being co-opted by, you know, very big players and, you know, with already pre-established followings. And now they're just making a new platform for themselves. And, you know, good for them. I'm glad it went that way instead of like, I don't know, like nobody listens to podcasts and it was just a thing that, you know, Apple believed in. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it could have gone that way too. So
the thing that only Apple believed in.
I mean, that's a lot of Apple stuff that they put on their phones. Let's just be honest.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it could have gone the way of the Zune.
Yeah. Well, okay, to be fair, out of all the podcast platforms, and I'm sorry, Apple, you have the worst podcast
even
platform.
Even after rebranding it to what is it, Apple Podcasts now?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it's not great.
Okay,
like, it could be a lot better.
Stop shaming me.
To be fair,
I don't even think that's what it sounds like.
I don't know, whatever. But, to be fair, I haven't really tried the new rebranded version. I just always like reverted to others. Just because.
As a user,
yeah.
Yeah. See, my big problem with iTunes, because I never really used it for like managing podcasts. I've always used my phone, and so I've never owned an Apple product ever.
Ditto.
So I've never had to deal with that. So I would always like, you know, I have the Android equivalent or whatever it is. And it was always fine. But what my big complaint about iTunes always was that it didn't give me enough like statistics, like audience measurement statistics.
That's true. Like
to be able to measure your
like,
growth.
For someone,
yeah.
When you're doing your own podcast, it's I feel like Apple, like there are, don't get me wrong, there are tons of people who use Apple. I'm not going to, like, and iTunes. But like as a user, as like a person that puts podcasts on, yeah, that's the best one to look at.
Yeah.
As far as anything else, I don't think analytics, like Apple's the best. But yeah. as a user, it's not friendly. It's not user friendly as like a person. Like it's also funky. It was
because they're not curating the number of shows on there, and you've got shows that did six episodes in 2005 and never did anything ever again.
Yeah.
Because those still exist on there, you have a lot of discoverability problems. And I've noticed that like they don't they don't like try to curate searches either. Like they don't give preferential treatment to podcasts that are active instead of inactive, you know, like that would make sense to me. If I'm searching for a podcast and I'm a user, I actively do not want one that stopped producing episodes in, you know, like 2014. But yet, if you look up Final Fantasy 14, in Apple Podcasts, Limit Break Radio's like among the top 10.
Hell yeah.
I mean, we stopped making shows for that 2 years ago.
It shows how awesome we are.
I'm just saying, like, that's a problem that iTunes needs to fix. All right, we're going to take a short break here for just a moment. Coming up, we're going to keep talking about podcasts, and we're actually going to let Chad fire some questions at us. So stick around. That's ahead next on the Checkpoint XP Podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to the Checkpoint XP podcast. So we're talking about podcasting, getting a little bit meta this week. Robbie, you and I have the longest history of podcasting together. We did our first
right all the way back to 2006.
Do you remember like the first show that we did?
It's difficult to recall specifically the first show. Everything that happened down in that basement conference room in the
kind of dorm, blurs together.
It all kind of blurs together. Yeah. My clearest and most earliest memories that I have is the first is you calling me during some sort of break. I was at my mom's. I remember answering the phone and going,
it was out on the porch. Yeah, it was like summer vacation or something
like
that.
And you were telling me about, I think it was Mega Elixir was the name of this podcast and what they did and stuff. And you're like, we sit around and talk about this game all day anyways. Why don't we just record it and put it out there? That was your pitch to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, okay.
That was pretty much the pitch for Limit Break Radio, the first version of Limit Break Radio. And then, yeah, like I had made some intros and stuff and brought them up.
I remember.
It was like
you,
to Shakespeare.
I was in Romeo and Juliet.
That's what it was.
Yep. It was in the park, basically. So we were outside, like this little mini amphitheater, and you had came and you had watched that, and then before you had headed back up to CMU, I think. We had stopped off at the Green Parrot was the name of the bar where like the cast had went to afterwards. And in your car in the middle of this parking lot, which wasn't even paved because, again, it's in Chesaning, you know, population of five. You played the intro for me and I'm like, this is it. Man.
This is it. Yeah. Because that was what I was like at the time kind of going to school for. I was trying to learn how to do imaging production and stuff like that. So I just kind of screwing around made this sort of like intro and liked it so much that I was like, dude, we got to do this. Like, we absolutely have to do this. And I remember bits and pieces of maybe not the first episode, but like the first four or five episodes that we did, because we were trying to do them at first on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
And they were only maybe like an hour and a half long. And I don't think the first couple of shows I think it took till maybe episode three for us to like
find a groove,
find a theme, figure out that like,
oh, what we were doing.
Yeah,
which like was reading off of Wikipedia.
Well, yeah, like figure out like what the show was.
Yeah.
I think, you know, those first couple of episodes were very kind of like all over the place.
You know what sticks out me the most about doing those and definitely, you know, looking back on it now is where the fun of creating podcasts and creating content comes from. Isn't because to me, there were two aspects of the show. There was the reading off the wiki and being informative and educational.
Right.
And then there was all the character stuff that we did. And to me, all the stuff that stands out to me are all the bits that we did, right?
Yeah.
All like the drama that we would fake and stuff like that. Like, those are the things that really stick out in my head. And everything else just blends together and turns into this weird gray mush that doesn't really mean anything.
After a while, you know, when we started doing 2 and 3 hour long shows, mm-hmm. like I wouldn't be surprised if people were falling asleep in the middle of it, like just like nodding off for 20 minutes in the middle of a 3 hour episode.
People loved them though.
No, I mean us in the room.
Oh yeah, that's fair. No, that's 100%. Yeah, accurate.
That dude,
accurate,
dude. I remember a lot of those like sessions where we would just get out of there and all of us would be like, mm-hmm. I can't even think.
The hurricane in the chat saying, don't forget those personal updates.
Oh my God.
Which Nate hates. He hates the idea of the personal updates.
I do.
And I have to make sure. I have to make sure you realize that when we do on this show, on The Daily Show, when we do the weekend update,
it's a personal update.
That's just
I know.
Okay,
I do know that. I know. I mean, yeah, I think the reason that I hated the personal update was because that's what we called it, and that's what literally every other Final Fantasy show called it afterwards.
They copied us.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that's... Like, it was just...
Not the concept of it, then.
It was just by virtue of... Yeah, not... No, because you got to talk about yourself every once in a while.
Here's what you have to take from that, right? Because everyone calls them personal updates. And we were there at the beginning of podcasts. We created the personal update.
We did.
We pioneered that.
You are not wrong.
So when you hear Joe Rogan, when you hear Joe Rogan giving his personal updates on his show, he got that from us.
At least, Here's the thing. At least Joe Rogan doesn't call them personal updates.
Ah, damn.
Thank you, Joe. So, yeah, I mean, the first year of Limit Break Radio is like tough to remember. But I do. I mean, like, I remember when we broke, you know, like when we went for summer break after that first year, like when we came back the second year, everyone was like, let's fucking do it. Like, people were like charged up and like excited to do the show.
I mean, we had been away from it for so long. There was more organic stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, it was a lot better than sitting down and being like, all right, so what thing are we trying to educate people on today?
Right.
You know, there was the whole trying to make sure that we were packaging ourselves for, you know, Square Enix as well, you know, to get noticed by Senpai.
Yeah. Which is weird, because I feel like that's what a lot of streamers and you know, like YouTube content creators do now, right? Like, they know
there's an aspect of it for sure.
Oh yeah, like you know, I think that there's a lot of people out there who, you know, are very hyper aware about the communities that they're creating for, and who kind of oversees, like, who is in that hierarchy.
Well, it's something that especially if you're trying to make a career out of this, you do have to keep that in mind, because obviously, you know, corporate entities are looking at you,
and that's one of the big things that has changed in our career arc. Is that we went from no one paying attention to what we were doing, except outside of our audience, mm-hmm. and not being able to get advertisers or outside, you know, companies interested in what we were doing because they didn't understand it. And now there is a legitimate chance that if you're making something for, you know, a Bethesda community, that a Bethesda community rep could
they see the value in what you're doing.
Yes.
And because more of them are looking to utilize that space, you know, because before it was unheard of, and that's why you're like, we have to make sure that we are as attractive to them as we can possibly be, right? Because if they're going to choose just one, if they even do, because nobody's doing it, we want it to be us.
Yep.
But now that it is more widespread, that has opened up the possibility that you don't have to be that perfect image for, you know, the community or the game. You know, you can be a little bit more edgy. You can step outside of your zone and still find success.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely can. It's just, yeah, like, how it's still that dice roll of, like, you know, what do you, like, do you think you'll do better with an audience railing against the company that's making the game, or, you know, trying to work with them? Because, I mean, anyone who is a content creator for Blizzard right now, like, I kind of feel for. They're in a tough position. They're in a tough spot. Like a lot of these, you know, competitive players or content creators that create stuff for Blizzard or have been, you know, doing stuff for WoW for the better part of 15 years and are now kind of like faced with this moral conundrum. Like the people who are actively choosing to say, fuck it, I'm going with my morals and I will burn it all down. I have an enormous amount of respect.
Oh, absolutely.
For those
now, I mean, I think people that are sticking with it aren't necessarily up against a wall or anything, because as long as you're honest with, you know, first of all, how you feel about it. All right. That's the first thing. But also keep in mind that, you know, Blizzard isn't just this one evil, you know, king that's sitting up on a frozen throne at the top of the mountain, you know,
there's unlike still, all their evil characters.
There's hundreds and thousands of people, you know, throughout the company that also hate what the company's doing as well, you
sure.
know?
Right.
So I don't think that every content creator out there has to like take some stand and be like, that's it, I'm done playing Blizzard games or creating content.
No, they don't
them.
They don't have to, but even speaking out or speaking your mind on the topic, I mean,
dangerous.
especially if Blizzard is hyper aware of what you do as a content creator,
could come back down the line.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree.
Absolutely.
I agree. It kind of reminds me of like the old days of you. It's like a digital strike line. Like when people went past a strike line, people would throw stuff at them because they were like, I forget the term that they used, but like they're basically working
scabs.
Yeah, yeah. The digital scabs. And that, a lot of people are probably like thinking that's what it's like.
Well, I mean, yes and no. I mean, I definitely think that people's bullshit detectors in terms of like shills or people that are just, you know, they're trying to toe
the company line.
Yeah, their opinions are bought and sold. I think people
pick up on that
really quickly.
That's fair.
Really, really quickly.
But then you're also sometimes hate anyways.
Sometimes to the effect of like going over the line, right? Like they're mostly in the brigading of someone who has a different point of view. Like a lot of times that can get really toxic really quick. But yeah, like I definitely think that there's something to that. Like I said, I've got a feel for all of those content creators, just knowing the position that they've been in. And like I said, especially the ones that have addressed the situation and said something anyway, or decided to, you know, boycott Blizzard anyway, because it has a very real impact on their bottom line and on their income. You got to have an immense amount of respect for those people. I'm trying to think of what else about podcasting we've learned in like our 15 years.
You know what? I can tell them what I've learned. For any aspiring podcasters out there, you know, obviously I think Nate, you can speak more to the side of like creating and having to market and just I don't know, the technical side of podcasting, right? And as someone
sure.
who's been along with you this whole ride, you know, anyone out there who's doing podcasting or has any friends who are doing podcasting, latch onto them as tightly as you can and make them think that they can't do this without
leech
you in some way, and just ride that wave as far as you possibly can. Like when I look back at all the stuff that I've done over the years, I just had to show up and talk. So
I mean, that's a pretty good point.
Yeah, it's been pretty easy.
We
for
should
me.
Probably put you to work in another.
I mean, I'm doing stuff now that we're.
We should make you. Yeah, we should get you working. What
There's
are we doing
plunge,
here?
Plenty of stuff that Beasley's throwing at us.
Yes, plunge. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, before it was just drive 2 hours, do a podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
Now it's a shorter drive, but I'm doing more stuff.
Yeah,
that's fair.
So Chad, we thought, you know, because Robbie and I have been working together for almost 15 years, like we'd give you an opportunity to fire some questions at us if you have any. I don't even know if you did.
Reporter Chad.
All right. Okay. You know. What?
Give us your best
you
CNN.
15 years. All right. In 15 years, what is the one piece of technology that has made your life easier
Ooh.
As a podcaster? Like the one.
This
I mean,
is,
there's probably a million, but there's you each. I'll each let you answer like one.
This is a really good question. And I know exactly what my answer is. My answer is USB audio technology has made an enormous difference, because when you're dealing with wires that, you know, and especially like consumer grade wires that will go bad within 3 or 4 years, and you're doing like a you know, like a connection, like a, I don't know what to call it, but just like the eighth inch headphone jack connection. Yeah. There's so much line noise that can be created just through that one connection alone.
And if you move it, it makes even more noise.
Oh my God. It's fucking horrible. Even though I never, like, very early on in our process, we decided to not record our audio on the computer, right? Like, in here, we have the solid state recorder, right? That was one of the very first investments in technology that I ever made as a podcaster. So actually, maybe that might be a better answer here. Ooh, because that was, because I at my time at CMU, they had access to these portable Marantz recorders, which I bought.
And we were still using up until the point.
Yeah, and we still can use here and there.
And we still use. Yeah, we still use them to this day. Yeah, I invested in that probably, I mean, you know, the show started in August, probably December. I think I took my Christmas money because it was like $400. Like that was the most expensive piece of gear in our entire collection. But it was the most critical because, and this happened so often to friends, and I would always feel so bad for them. Like Joe used to do a different, like a show on our network, but he would run it and engineer it and give us the audio, and we would post it. Is that like if something hiccuped with the computer or the hard drive or anything in there, that audio just disappeared. Gone. It's gone. Right? But the solid state recorder, it was always there. Like we never had an episode like just like just get lost,
right?
You know. So I was really sympathized with, you know, friends that would be like, oh, I lost my episode. How do you guys never deal with this? And I would always explain, well,
$400.
Yeah, it took $400. Yeah, it took $400 to be able to do that. So it's one of those two things. I think USB audio made it possible for us to stream, though. Like, made it possible for us to live stream.
That's what I'll go with, is definitely, I think, Twitch and the age of streaming allowed, and not even just in podcasting. Just, I mean, you obviously see it with the proliferation of Twitch and just streaming in general. Being able to have that instant connection with your fan base, being able to grow your audience the way that you do, it gave a whole nother level of interaction and thus content to now be able to draw from and to be able to create.
Yep.
Had we had that from day one of Limit Break Radio,
it would have been way different.
It'd have been way different. It probably would have been a lot more fun. We probably could have done the weekly episodes.
And it would have been more interactive, too.
For sure.
You know, I think that was a big element to, like, getting us all to like doing the show a lot more. Because when it was done in a vacuum, it wasn't as fun. Like, it was way more fun once we had a chat room to kind of screw around with. Yes. And, like, callers to mess with. Like, that's kind of really like when I was like, oh man, we really found our pocket. Like, yeah. That's when I was like, our show got good.
And so did the rest of, you know, just the streaming world.
Well, and what's interesting is that, like, we were screwing around with that.
Ballin.
Thank you very much, Maraxis. But that was something that we were screwing around with even before the days of Twitch, right?
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, trying to take calls,
yeah. Right? Because remember we did the
really long name for, yeah, the Spectacular Bonanza call-in special.
Yeah, whatever that was. The very first one we did through Twitch. Or no, I'm sorry, we did through Skype. They used to have these like party rooms where you could invite 200 people to Skype with you. Yeah,
that sounds like a nightmare.
But you could move them in between rooms, and what we would do is we would have, like, you know, a whole bunch of people basically like on hold, and then bring them up to the room where Robbie and I were chatting, and we would take their call. So we did a very early version of that, and we were screwing around with live streaming way before, like back when it was just in TV. In fact, do you remember when we created the Limit Break Radio Twitch channel? We couldn't at first because we already had a Justin TV account under that name.
Which you didn't have access to.
And when they, no, because they merged. Yeah. There was no Justin TV anymore. And there was like a year window where you could reclaim your new username, and we missed it by like a year and a half.
I just want to point something out really quick, because I want to go and look up what the title of that dumb Colin thing was, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I Googled it, and searches related to the top one is, what happened to Limit Break Radio?
This.
That's awesome.
Wait. Where is that, and why aren't we commenting on that?
Is it a Reddit thread?
No, when I click it, it just goes to a bunch of other things. Ow. So, lame. Yeah.
And to be fair, that could have been asking the question from when we first canned the show in like 2011.
That's possible as well.
So
yeah.
there's that. But yeah, I think that's a good answer, is live streaming and kind of like VoIP technology really kind of changed the course and the direction of the show, and especially having that accessible, right? Because like streaming to Justin TV was back when we were doing it was complicated and janky. And oftentimes didn't work. We couldn't send video very effectively. We could just send audio.
Great.
You know, like, but we kind of made it work, at least in concept. At least, you know, when we came back around the second time for FF14 and eventually to do the show on Twitch, it felt like a much more natural fit.
Yeah, no, it's gotten a lot better. So, yeah, I would definitely say that streaming technology has gone. I mean, obviously, again, just look at the what everyone's done with it and the entire market that it's created.
It's true. Any other questions?
Yes, and I'll open up the chat, too, so I could steal your questions if anyone has any.
A.K.A. Chad had two questions.
Maybe.
He probably only had one, but during that, he came up with a second one.
Don't call me out, Robbie. Don't call
calling
me out.
Calling you out.
All right, so basically, I already know this for Norris, and because he mentioned this before, where he said, if I didn't do this show, I would do one about politics.
Sure.
What about you? If you had another podcast, non-gaming... I guess it could be gaming, but more niche, whatever.
Sure.
Let's try non-gaming if you can think of it. What would you talk about? What would be your podcast?
I also would probably say politics. I was a poli-sci major along with a broadcast major, so a double major in college. So, and in fact, I did do a show that was like very tangentially related to gaming for like a year, maybe-ish, Refresh, and... yeah, there was a lot of political discussions mixed with me and two of my bonehead friends smoking a lot of weed. A lot of weed.
Good times.
Yeah. I would say that's probably mine.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you would technically still count this as gaming, but it's not video gaming. And obviously I still do a bit of this already, but it would be Dungeons and Dragons tabletop stuff. I would devote way more time to that if I had the time to devote to it. I've actually been recently working on my own custom class, Dark Knight, which when it's finished, there's a website called the DMs Guild, which is where people can create, you know, their own source material, their own worlds and books and like just all types of stuff like that. And then you can put prices on them so that way it's like a way to kind of help, you know, support other content creators within that space. And
that's
stuff
really cool.
Like that. Yeah, so
I feel like you can make a lot out of D&D too, because there's like so many stories. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know, just very interesting. And basically going off of that, what podcast space do you think could use a podcast now? Like, so what kind of genre do you think is out there that maybe it's not tapped into enough or you want to see more of?
All right, I'm going to go ahead and take this one first.
Okay.
And it'll probably end up being his answer as well.
Okay.
But it's something that behind the scenes we've talked a little bit about maybe trying to do. But that is, I think that there needs to be more support or more knowledge or more teaching for what happens within the Twitch space, right? It's all
do-it-yourself,
right? You fire your stream up, you get OBS, you buy your equipment or whatever, and then a lot of it, I think, is learning as you go or making friends with other streamers and figuring out, what do I do? How do I deal with this?
Sure.
And I think that there is absolutely room out there in the podcast space and beyond for teaching people like best practices and how to get around this, you know, the type of things you're going to run into. How do you, you know, submit your taxes on a quarterly basis so that at the end of the year, Uncle Sam doesn't come and just get right up the butt?
Yeah.
Hey, phrasing.
Copyright Checkpoint XP, by the way. Don't take our podcast.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely, I think that's definitely a good idea. One thing that I have always kind of wondered why people don't do more of is at running commentary over something else, right? Like, I understand for legal reasons why you couldn't have the audio of what you're commenting on running behind you while you're doing it. But, like, the way that Riff Trax kind of did its whole thing was so brilliant to me that, you know, like, I did not... That was the only... I don't think you could even call that a podcast, but it was the only like thing that I could not bristle at like paying $2 for, right? Like they would do, you know, 99 cents or $2 or $3 per episode that they would put out, like per riff that they would do. And it's like, to me, I think it would be really cool if there was someone out there who knew just shitloads about like Japanese wrestling, like New Japan Pro or something like that, right? And did their own English commentary like that you would play at the same time as watching, you know, like a pay-per-view or, you know, an episode or whatever it is, you know what I mean? Like that that idea was always really cool to me. Like, okay, I start this at the same time as my podcast, and now the podcast is commenting on the thing that I'm watching. I always loved that idea.
You know,
but I never figured out how to do it.
You know what that reminds me of is basically like when you watch extra features on like,
yes,
like commentary like, and
yes,
stuff on,
yes,
on DVD.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And those are always really fascinating, but like you kind of need very specialized skills to be able to pull something like that off, right? Like you either need to have an insane amount of knowledge about, like, for my example, like Japanese wrestling, right? Like I would want you explaining what the storyline is. Like catch me up in the story, like explain to me why this is a big deal. You know, that kind of stuff I would really appreciate. But yeah, it's like you either need knowledge that's so specific and specialized in that form, or you need someone who is like involved in the production of the thing, right? Like to your point about like
directors, actors,
yeah, exactly, exactly. But I don't know, like if someone could figure out a unique enough take on that, I think it would be really, like really cool.
Quick shout out in our chat to Vanyan29 for that Twitch Prime sub, 12 months.
Ballin'.
Thank you. And the other area that is seeing growth that I think had a lot of promise but wasn't discovered very early on in podcasting is the dramatic, you know, sort of like storytelling podcast. Not someone literally telling a story, but like using radio theater as a way to tell a story. I mean, that, you know, kind of died out in the
50s.
In the 40s and 50s. And I think like podcasting is a really great way, especially with all the sound effects and digital editing that you can do.
You know, when we were up at Central, I had actually done a few radio plays up there that I'd like tried.
Yeah, that was Luke's project, right?
Oh, I can't remember any names. All that I remember is in the first one, I had one line. I was the elevator guy, and then I starred in another one where I was a dude who was bored with life and like wanted to turn into a bird, and he did. At the end, I turned into a bird and just flew off. And the chick who played my wife was just like,
"What a career path!"
Oh,
yeah. There was because like that was it was a thing that there was one student who was like really when we were at CMU like really devoted to bringing back
the radio drama.
Radio dramas. And to me, like that there is so much potential in that in terms of the podcasting space. And I see more and more projects that are like doing that, right? Like there was a great one called
Oh no! What is I?
That's a weird title.
No, I like that title.
It's something
it.
Town, and I don't remember what it is. It's not Lazy Town. I know that.
No.
Damn it! What
great
is
great theme song?
Man. I know. I can't think of what the actual show is called. But there's like Audible is producing a lot of these.
And actually, you mentioned Audible, and I think and I'm surprised like. Audible hasn't really gotten into like making the books into these things. And if that, maybe they have, and I just don't know about it, but like, I mean, audiobooks are huge right now.
Yeah,
and, like,
absolutely.
As the podcast grew, so did audiobooks, people listening in the car, which I find interesting that like no one's done the movie, you know, the audio movie version of a book instead of doing all this production work into like video and doing it, maybe do that same thing just, you know, with just audio.
Yeah. It's
Audible.
Mean,
I'm telling you, you could take my idea, but you got to give me some percentage.
All right. Did we get any questions from the chat?
One I got was a video game question.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to answer that video game question?
I mean, why not?
All right. What game coming out this fall will still be relevant in the new year?
And that comes courtesy of Czilla 8.
Oh, yes.
Who now has a gifted sub from Jillian. Thank you both. Ballin'.
Had a switch gears here for a minute.
Yeah, what game that comes out this fall is still going to be relevant next year? I'm going to take the easy out here, Pokemon Sword and Shield.
Yes.
Cyberpunk 2077, or does that come out after the...
That comes out next year.
You're right. That comes out after home.
How long do you think that Death Stranding will be relevant? That's the question.
I don't know, because I don't know what it is. I don't know what that game is. How can I answer that question? That's not fair. I mean, yeah, Pokemon Sword and Shield seems like a pretty good answer. What else is still coming out? Like what, maybe The Outer Worlds, maybe it might still be relevant? Question mark. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I could definitely like, I could say with certainty that I think the next big game that will rock people's world is going to be Cyberpunk 2077.
I agree with that.
I really hope it is.
I agree with that.
I think it is.
I mean, we were speaking with the developers actually at TwitchCon, and like they got me even more hyped.
Yeah, yeah. I think that Cyberpunk is going to be like one of the like Skyrims of like the next sort of, I don't want to say like generation because we're at the end of a generation, but like the next decade, I guess. Actually, no, it comes out in 2020. Yeah, that's going to be like the Skyrim of the decade. People are going to be playing that well into like 2030
on
their smart fridges.
That could very well be
their virtual reality fridges.
Well, thanks for calling us out, Sir Norak. We know it's not until April 2020, but
yeah, we just established that. All right. Well, thank you for that question.
Czilla 8.
Yes, Czilla. All right. Well, I think that's going to be it for the Checkpoint XP podcast. Thanks so much for, you know, joining us and taking the stroll down memory lane. Make sure you connect with us. CheckpointXP.com is where you can find out more information about the show, interviews from past episodes, and a whole lot more. It's over at CheckpointXP.com. Stay up to date on the latest by following us on social media. CheckpointXP on Facebook and Twitter, and _XP on Instagram. And if you like the show, consider dropping by our Apple Podcast feed and giving us a rating and a review. Checkpoint XP is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at WeirdAtLast.com. For the Checkpoint XP crew, Chad Callahan sitting in for Joe Ann Norris and Robbie Landis. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to the Checkpoint XP podcast. Make sure you subscribe to iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, tune into our weekly radio show. For more information and the latest on esports and gaming, go to CheckpointXP.com.